Hello?
All right, sir. Hear you, Jim.
Say hi to me back.
How are you doing tonight? How are
you? There you are.
Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
How are you? How you doing, bud?
Hello.
Good.
Hey, Chris.
Mr. Proto.
Hey, Mr. Phipps.
How you doing, Joe? How's everybody tonight? Everyone okay?
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Bashir.
Hey, Rich.
Good evening, everyone.
Oh, Rich.
How's everybody?
Doing well.
Yep.
There's Dr. Stewart with the infamous guitars in the background. Nice.
Hello.
Hello.
Josh, how are you? Ms. Tidmarsh, I see her signed in. Nice. Hi, that's you.
It is. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Beth. How are you? Nice.
Okay.
Nice to see your name on the screen.
Oh, thank you.
Nice to hear from you.
I'm sure.
Yes. Tara Hyder's there. Nice. Good to see her coming on. We have a few more folks, a few minutes to get on. There's Tara.
Hi, sorry.
All good. We're waiting for a few more.
Okay.
I think it's Rich, Chris, and Joe, me, you. That's five. Let me scroll back to the other side. So right now we have five of, oh no, Dr. Stewart, six, I'm sorry. We have six of 10. Waiting for Dr. Adamowski, George, Ron, Barbara. I think George, Barbara, and Ron might be in the Shelton meeting. Oh wait, did I say that? I'm sorry.
Jim brought jokes tonight, Tara.
Jeez, I was just gonna wish happy birthday to Josh's dog. I wasn't gonna go that crazy.
So Josh, how old is your dog?
9 years old today.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. What's your dog's name?
Pepper.
Nice, Pepper. Well, folks, that's nice. We have 6 of 10. I'd hope to be a few more folks there. Hang on. But if you guys want to get started, we can. Maybe as we go through some of the pleasantries, some of the folks will sign on. And we start to, start to get to the housekeeping stuff. Maybe other people will sign in. So with that in mind, at 7:02, everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of the Forward.
Thank you, God, for the
indivisible
injustice for all.
I don't think I've ever seen that many tabs open on one computer that actually was working.
He's a busy guy. He's a busy guy. Okay. Trish, would you be so kind as to take the roll?
All righty. Mr. Gilday.
I am here.
Ms. DeGennaro. Ms. Hyder.
Here.
Mr. Kurtica. Mr. Leno. Mr. Yeoman.
Here.
Mr. Adamowski. Mr. Becerra.
Present.
Mr. Phipps.
Here.
Dr. Stewart.
Here.
I am.
You have Dr. Adamowski is there at 3439.
No, that's Jim.
That's Jim. That's me. I will tell you that Barb just emailed me, Miss DeGennaro, and I'm going to, she can't find the call information. So if you just bear me with me 30 seconds, I'm going to text that to her. All right. Don't mean to hold everybody.
Right now you have, with her, you'll have 7 of 10.
Okay, I'm just going to send her that right now.
Okay.
Take me 30 seconds more.
Present.
And then while we're talking, I can also copy George and find out where they are, George and Ronnie.
I mean, if you like, Jim, I can just open it up. The next item, number 4 on the agenda, is the public portion, so we can just open it up for public comment.
Yeah, go for it.
From the public, as they want to say.
Okay, Barbara said that she's online. She could hear us. She just can't get to the computer screen. So I think she's here for sure. All right. Anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Going once. Going twice. Anyone from the public 3 times? Okay, seeing no one from the public, we do have Trish was kind enough to send us the minutes from our June 22nd, 2020 meeting. Does anyone have a motion or wish to make a motion regarding the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes of June 22nd.
Motion by Dr. Stewart. Is there a second? Second, Mr. Phipps. Saw your hand. Perfect. Thank you. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, so Doc, would you be? I did send a committee as we get into the. Well, I should say, Dr. Adamowski's not here. To my knowledge, we do not have any new business finances or invoices. So
just mine.
I did want to just. I'm sorry.
Just mine.
Yeah, but yours.
Mr. Chair.
Yours typically, we had given the treasurer the authority to sign off on the secretarial invoices. So if Joe feels better that we make a motion, that's fine. The committee hasn't been given an invoice for you. It's been our past practice for invoices. We're fine for the treasurer to sign off on.
Yep. Now, Steve can sign off on that, Jim. We agreed to that a while ago. So just send them. Yeah. Send them in, Trish. We'll get you paid.
Will do.
We have it. Right. We'll move it forward.
Okay, so if Dr. Conway, I did send out a revised, I forwarded a revised sheet from Simone earlier today. And I just want to point out what I think is the only difference before we start our discussion. And Doc, if you'd be so kind as to go to page 8, I'd appreciate it. Okay, hang on 1 second. Barbara's muted. She's here now, but she's muted. So, Doc, have we done anything from a host perspective to mute Barbara?
Okay, I think I'm here. I'm here.
All right. Barbara's there. Okay.
So I hit, for the record, Yeah, I hit pound six instead of star six, and I couldn't understand why it didn't unmute me, but that's why. Okay, sorry, everybody. Thank you.
Welcome, Barbara.
All right, so Doc, is that the most current one that I sent you?
No, it looks like that's the old one, Jim.
Yeah, Doc, is there, I think I sent you a one earlier or later in the day. Can you just double check? And if not, I could send that to you right now while we're on the phone.
We'll check right now.
Sorry, folks.
Got it.
Okay, so you have the most current. Okay, thank you. Okay, so if we go to page 8, there you go. So, folks, if you notice in the original document of the one prior to today, I talked a little earlier, but the Bradley Elementary School in the original file that you had the PK through 12 regionalized elementary cost at $587,942, and there was obviously it was about $250,000 cheaper. And when I talked to Simone, she said because when you did the addition, the renovations would be at a different reimbursement rate. But they didn't calculate the cost of the renovation, which you would have to do if in order to make that three elementary school work. You had to factor in the addition. So the only change from the file that we would have had prior to today in this file is the Bradley school figure has gone from $587,942 in the PK through 12 three school regionalization model to $1,429,943. And that just represents the addition that you would need to put on to offset the closing of Irving School. So, okay. So with that in mind, with everyone just being caught up, I'm really open to any discussion and how the discussion wants to go, but I would just say, if Doc, if we go to the last page, page 10, I don't know if this will help or hurt, or I'm not helping or move the ball forward, but in order to, and if you zoom that a little bit better or a little bit higher, DMG felt that in order to come up with the exact cost associated with the equalization, we had to answer a series of questions. Which regional option is to be selected? Which will the schools be contributed or leased? And you have this here in front of you. I think that would be helpful or fruitful to start having some discussions and narrowing some of this down. I think where maybe obvious or not obvious. So, you know, I still don't necessarily think, and this is only my opinion, that we don't have to today or in the next week decide exactly what regional option is to be selected. But if there's any that the numbers are obvious that cancel out, or if someone wants to have a discussion on that, I'm all for that. But again, I think there's certainly other questions down below that are equally as important, like whether they're contributed or leased. One question I think is very important, which I think we'll have to spend time on, is number 4, what level of repair will each school receive? So for me, I just want to point out one thing in that section, and then I'll open it up to wherever anybody on the committee wants to go. When I looked at the spreadsheets today, when I started to focus in on this, these are the spreadsheets that were given us to each school. And talking to Simone, I just wanted to confirm with her that this sheet on page 7, that code violations, site improvements, infusion improvements, the numbers that we were given today focus only on the code violations, the number ones. And as I went through this today, I spent a little time on it, I think there's a fair amount of twos that we're going to want to do as well. For instance, which surprised me a little bit, but all door push and pull maneuvering clearances do not meet code. Restrooms, floor urinals do not meet building codes. Existing drinking fountains do not meet building codes. And those are all twos. So I do think, unless I'm going to have to decide that today, I do think that question four is very pivotal as well, is deciding what degree of repairs are going to be in school. So
if I can, Jim, just to kind of segue off of that, you know, I guess two things to start with, really. In conversations with, you know, the fellow members from Ansonia, I think the general tenor is that I think we need to get a little bit more focused and narrowing the focus and moving this forward and trying to get on track back where we were getting, I would say, in the February and March before COVID, and just trying to focus a little bit more on the determinative questions as to where we need to go. I think we have enough information at this point in time to start answering some of the questions, certainly not all of them, and I'm sure we're going to have others that come up that we're going to want to see, but I think we need to start having the conversations about where we're going, and I think number two, or where, you know, number one and then number 2A are really the pivotal questions here for equalization, because I think we have to narrow the focus down to what our options are, one, and then if we're going to get to the question as to whether or not we're contributing to the district or leasing them, where the money comes from, if on a lease situation, is more an individual community issue, more so, because we're going to, the communities themselves are going to be responsible for the upgrades, the code, fixing the code violations, as opposed to the regional district itself. So I think that those two questions are pivotal before we can even get to that question number four. And I would agree that it's certainly important as to whether or not you want to do just the ones and the twos. But I think the answer comes with the second question as to whether or not if this is going to be a lease situation, before they can be leased, you're going to want to have the ones or the twos being, I imagine, fixed. And if they're not being contributed, it doesn't really fall, the onus doesn't really fall to the regional district to make sure that work is getting done. So that's kind of where
I would, I would agree. I wouldn't jump to number four. I just wanted to point out, in looking at the information, that was certainly an important, you know, I think all the questions are important. I just didn't want that to go unnoticed, being at the bottom, you know, being at the bottom per se. So I am all for, like I said, you know, certainly starting if anything is obvious with question number one that jumps out. I mean, for certain.
Well, I think me and you had this conversation about a week ago, Jim. And I think this is probably a question to open up to the members and sort of ask the questions is that not necessarily which option are we choosing, but are there any options that we can exclude and take right off the top to sort of narrow the focus down? And I think that's a good place to start, because if we know for certain that there are certain things that we do not want, that helps us narrow it down from the five categories to maybe two or three.
You're speaking.
Not to put on the spot, but are there any, from your perspective, are there any options that don't work?
I would say for myself would be the high school level, just 9 through 12 would be my first X off the list, not to be considered.
Yeah, and that, in talking to the Ansonia members, that seems to be a consensus amongst the Ansonia members that a high school only scenario did not really, by itself, I don't know if that gets us to where we want to be.
Can I just for purposes of understanding ask the reasons why? I just want to understand all the variables.
We have an aging middle school, Tara, and I think that's going to be a priority for us in the next 5 to 10 years, whether or not there's a regional district or not. And putting ourselves in a situation where we would be the district, obviously, that would be taking on the Derby High School students. And then taking on the load of building probably what would amount to be or renovating a new middle school. So that would put that, that would just, it's a lot, it's a big financial burden from our perspective. So I just don't know if we have the base to be able to handle that by doing just a high school. And that seems to be the consensus, like I said, amongst the members and Ansonia. Not to say that it's not worthy, you know, we wouldn't still continue to have the conversation, but from the reading the report, the input with regards to equalization, it just seems to be, that seems to be kind of the general overall consensus right now.
Whereas a 6-12 at least seems to address the two elephants in the room for both towns.
Correct.
Middle school and a high school problem for each.
But, sorry, the elephant's not as obvious to me. Oh, what's the other elephant, Josh?
No, I'm saying it would seem that you guys are looking at high school option. We're looking at middle school options. So to the at least the 6-12 seems more viable for both sides combined than just the 9-12. And I'm not necessarily narrowing it down. I'm, personally, my personal thing is when I look at that, I think that summary of decisions page is useful. And I almost feel like we should at least, at the worst, come up with 2 to 3 options, maybe split that page, start to try to answer them down. And some of them are just going to kick themselves out along that way. And some of the answers are going to be the same. Like, I you know, as Joe mentioned, the leasing versus the contribution, it may be the same across any configuration we potentially come up with. You know, 2A might answer itself the same for any configuration, but I don't know. I think we could at least start getting down to 2 to 3 options versus looking at all of them. I feel like we're kind of paralyzed in not going anywhere. We have all those options out there and they're not all equally attractive to all of us, you know.
So then if I could just clarify, so for me, which and I very much appreciate the discussion when we walk forward, and it makes sense. So from Ansonia's position, the 9-12 doesn't meet the needs of the town, and quite frankly, it may not meet the needs of both towns. So you're thinking that we should strike down the 9-12 option. Is that a fair characterization?
Yes. I think so. I think okay. That seems to be the consensus on the answer. So,
does any committee member want to weigh in on that?
I'm thinking that 9-12 option provides itself with the voucher system more readily than the regionalization format.
Okay. So it sounds, Rich, like you're reaffirming that statement that you support that.
I do. Also, I'm not in favor of a shared central office. So I would take that one off the table. I think my primary recommendation, or at least primary focus, would be on the full regionalization, pre-K through 12. And really, to me, that's where the biggest bang for the buck will be when it's all done and said.
I always thought, and maybe I looked at this wrong, but the shared central office, I always thought was kind of like the phase two, right? Here's other places that by sharing services, you could save money. So I guess for the sake of this, I mean, I would be comfortable if we wanted to follow Dr. Schuert's advice to narrow it down to 3, I would be comfortable, you know, having the 6-12 regionalized discussion, TK through 12, 4 elementary school, PK through 12, 3 elementary school. I don't really, me personally speaking from Derby, have any probably strong, I know finances is a part of it. I have a hard time getting past the statement in the report about the impact of closing neighborhood schools. So I'm not entirely sure just shuttling up closing Irving School is the best thing for the city and or that clientele. So at least initially, I'd like to me personally would still like to keep that one on the list. So I would be comfortable with narrowing it down to the 3, I mean, for certain, me personally.
I would agree, Jim. I know more and more people who I talk to in Derby really want the neighborhood elementary school. It's just important to them for kids at that age. My hesitation about getting rid of the 9-12 model is the rationale for it. And I don't mean this in any personal way, but as a representative for Derby taxpayers, if you think about it from a Derby taxpayer's perspective, if it benefits a Derby citizen to only regionalize 9-12, but we take on more than that because Ansonia wants a new middle school, that doesn't feel right as a representative of Derby taxpayers for me. So that rationale just doesn't sit well with me. And I understand the situation you're in. We were there, you know, a few years back before we got our new middle school. But as a representative of Derby, I'm not sure that I would be able to look in taxpayers' eyes and say, you know, this might have worked for us, but we made it bigger because Ansonia needed a new middle school. That doesn't feel right. Does that make sense?
I have to agree with Tara. It's Barbara.
But that would be the same as us saying that we want to look at a 6-8 regionalization. And you would be on the other side of that shoe, basically, that says, well, we don't really need a new middle school plan.
Can you say that again, Mr. Bashir?
It would be the same thing if one of the options was a 6-8 regionalization.
It's not an option.
It isn't one of the scenarios, is it?
Yeah, no, it's right. Not, but it would be the same kind of, it would be the reverse scenario of what you're describing. I understand where you're coming from, but we have that same same situation, but at the 6-8 grade level.
And I would just add to that and say, Tara, is that if we want to continue to look at it as an option, that's fine. I'm just pretty much indicating, based on talking to all of the members on the Ansonia side, that if that is the choice that is made, I can't say that any of the five members from Ansonia are going to vote in that manner. So that's sort of why, you know, if you have five members from Derby that are not in favor of closing a neighborhood school, while you may have five members from Ansonia that are willing to do so. You guys don't want to close a neighborhood school. I understand that. Is it worth discussing it, knowing that all at the end of the day, all five members from Derby are going to vote no on it? I understand you may not like the rationale, but finances worked their way into this. You guys have a brand new middle school. We have a relatively new high school. We can both benefit from sharing from both of those in a regional district potentially. And, you know, that's kind of the rationale behind looking at it and just putting it out there so you guys understand where we're coming from.
I absolutely understand where you're coming from because you have a need, and that's a need that it needs to be resolved in one way or another. What's just interesting now is we're at a crossroads where, you know, we'd always been working as one. We are one unit, and we've been working really well together. And there will be a time when we have to start thinking about the needs of our own communities. So in representing the taxpayers of our city, we just have to think about, are we taking this on in a greater way and in a greater burden to help out the other town? And like, that's really nice, but I'm not sure that's the right thing to do for our taxpayers. So I understand where you're coming from. I'm just telling you that that would be the conversation in Derby is, oh, well, maybe we really didn't need a 6-12 regionalization, but we did it because Ansonia needed a new school. So
sure, but that
doesn't feel right.
No, I hear you, but I understand. But you guys also have a need for high school. So and at this point in time, we don't have the need for a high school. So
well, we actually weren't looking to, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim and Dr. Conway, but we weren't looking to rebuild or reconstruct or do anything for a new high school. That wasn't on our radar. I mean, it'd be nice, but it wasn't on our radar.
I mean, if it's the desire, and I'm just thinking a lot here, you know, I believe that each step along the way saves you greater money. So what I mean by that is 9-12 saves you, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but saves you X amount of dollars. 6-12 saves you more. PK through 12, four schools saves you even more, and then PK through 12, three schools saves you even more. I guess what Tara's saying is she wants to leave the 9th to 12th on, see what the costs are to each town, and then balance that versus the savings, if I understand what you're asking us to do.
Yeah, I'm just wanting to be able to look at the people of Derby in the eye and tell them our rationale for doing this and that it's good for them. That's all.
And that's exactly why we're putting it out there, because we have to do the same thing.
Exactly.
I understand, yeah.
Okay, so again, I do believe then that the savings that were shown in the report that we've given will balance out which option, financially probably makes more sense. I guess, and then I'll put stuff to Antonia, and Joe, I respect your position that, hey, you know, should we spend a whole lot of time, you know, on an option that five people are going to vote against? I think for the time being then, so it's not a whole heck of a lot of extra work to leave that on for now. And just to try to get the cost for each option and then balance that out versus the savings. I do think that will lead us in the right direction. Because again, I do actually think the 6-12 option, you know, that saves more money. So I think, you know, if you looked at it from a monetary perspective, I think the reports will bear that out.
I think the thinking is, forget about the money piece. If there's a desire for neighborhood schools, which I've heard as well, people like having, especially the elementary school, your kids are very young and you have a school close to you. I don't even know without looking back up there, but say you kept all the elementary schools open, at least then when you're getting to, then you're going to a regional scenario where you get into middle school and you're out. Whereas I feel like it's education, it's a crapshoot if you go to your neighborhood school, go to your middle school, and then everyone goes to a new high school. You're not going to be able to control that as you would the other way, where you're funneling everybody into a middle school and high school together. So the reason why I brought that, working out the scenarios, you could work out all the scenarios. Instead of three, you could work them all out if you want. I think it helps to prioritize what's important to you guys, what's important to us, because at the end of the day, I think there's going to be give and take, and some of it will be financial, and some of it will be philosophical, educational benefits, and you know, it's not always going to be about which scenario is safe the most, which scenario do we believe in, and it may be that X scenario save a little bit less money, but we all buy into it because we feel like our students are going to come out of there the best. And if we start having a conversation of what's good for one or what's good for the other, that's the key driver. We're not going anywhere, is my thought. I feel like we're in it together, and we have to come up with what's we're either in it together or we're going to do it together and believe in it together, or we're not going to do it at all.
Not tonight, no.
I don't know what the scenario is. I wasn't suggesting any one of them. I just feel like we're not going to ever get to that point if we don't. I think it's Dr. Adamowski brought it up last time. You just start plowing through. You start by doing number one. Check out all of them. But in the process, we're going to find out what the priorities of the towns are. What, you know, what's really important to you? Is it governance? Is it the elementary system? Is it the leadership? Is it, you know, whatever? Or is it, you know, in what strength on it? I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Jim, can I comment on that?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to echo that. I think that any community can look at this from the standpoint of advantages and disadvantages to themselves. There are no two communities that are the same. So if we looked for that scenario to emerge in terms of equal savings, equal benefit. You know, it would not be possible anywhere in the state at any time. I think what we're looking toward, though, is relative benefit and relative savings. And what is important to each community? And, you know, if Irving School is important to Derby, we have to, I think, look seriously at that. But I would also remind the committee that, you know, many of us got involved in this because we thought that the merger of children as well as save money for their taxpayers. And by that virtue, you know, I think we have to look at those options that would enable the greatest savings such that a portion of those savings could be put into enhancing the program. And by that virtue, the amount of money saved is going to benefit every child in this new district equally. So my sense would be to move forward and take a serious look at K-12 with Irving School included.
Well, I acknowledge that the savings, and although I will say that the savings that were talked about, I'm not entirely sure accurate, but I will say that the original, the finance section, I mean, that was the one that saved the most money. But again, I mean, going back to Dr. Schuer, you know, I'm not sure it's all entirely about money, obviously, and I'm not certain that the savings of the PK through 12 four elementary schools versus the PK through three elementary schools was that significant when you look at the numbers. That, gee whiz, you know, you have kids there who live in that whole side of town, and quite frankly, you know, when you talk about neighborhood schools, I mean, that is an, I think, an important fact part of the neighborhood. But for the amount of money you save, which is small, I'm not entirely sure, me personally, that's best for the city, best for the kids who live in that side of town. You know, it's funny, I had a discussion with somebody from Antonia, and I reminded them, you know, listen, Irving School, it would probably be a neighborhood school for many people in Antonia as well, right? I mean, Wakely Avenue, I mean, they don't really have a neighborhood school. So I don't know, I think there's a value to that. And, so I don't know, today I'm prepared to say, yeah, let's just only look at the option that closes Irving School. Because I hear what you're saying about the money, and I hear what you're saying about being, you know, not looking at it was only good for Derby or what's good for Ansonia. But I would just say that I do think part of my charge here, though, is to think of the community, is to think of the students, and is to think of the town. And I'm not entirely sure closing that Irving School, I'm not convinced that's the best option for the what I consider to be small amount of money that saves above the keeping it open.
Right, and that's
one last thing. I was gonna say one last thing I would say, truth be told, is I'm not entirely sure that the savings that they figure that they would say is accurate by closing Irving, because I'm not entirely sure that the financial documents and the costs associated with getting that, adding the building on, is even factored in. So when you look at the savings from our final report, and the savings between closing Irving and not closing Irving is small, but that doesn't balance, and that doesn't take into account the renovation and the additional code work that you have to do. I don't think we're prepared to say, hey, let's just go with that option. I don't see what argument can be made to support that.
Jim, and I will say, you know, going along that same logic, is that's I think what our charge is not only to look out for a potential regional school district, but we were also put here as members of both the Board of Education and placed by our various different mayors and approved by our boards of aldermen to come here and represent our communities and present our perspectives as to what it is. And that is what I'm trying to, you know, in starting that conversation. And I appreciate your comments and Tara's and Barbara's as well about, you know, the concerns about closing Irving and whether or not it's really a viable option. And I agree, you know, talking about the financials in the original report. Now, if it's on page 56 under finance, are those numbers dead on, or are those guesstimates? I think we all would tend to agree for various different reasons, and probably, you know, that we're probably taking a good faith guess at some of these numbers. The difference between, you know, PK with four elementary schools and PK through 12 with three elementary schools, the difference about 440,000, even with that good faith guesstimate. Is that worth it? I don't know, because like you said, does that take into consideration? But I appreciate your perspective, and if that is not going to, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that if that is not going to be a realistic option for Derby in the long run, if push comes to shove, we can study all of the options if we want to. But at the end of the day, if we know, you know, if you guys know, and you're going to know better than I'm going to, as to whether the Derby members are simply not going to want to close Irving because that's not what the public in Derby wants, well, then it's kind of, we're spinning our wheels having that conversation. We've been focused on things that we can agree on and we can come to some sort of consensus on and try to work on the details, which would, in my opinion, would be that 6 through 12 and a PK through 12 situation that everybody can sort of live with. And if, you know, three schools is not something that is reasonable, from my perspective, I look at it like, okay, we can have all those conversations and there may be that additional savings at the end of the day. But if you know full well that you guys aren't comfortable with it and you don't think your public is going to be comfortable with it, we're really having a conversation in, you know, in theory, as opposed to having the conversation trying to come up with a substantive document that we can move forward with. So that's just my two cents in trying to put that out there. I'm not trying to, you know, I understand people are going to have different opinions and we're going to disagree about lots of stuff. I'm sure we already have. But, you know, facilitating that conversation and having that good faith conversation about, hey, what are we really getting at? What are our needs? And we were put here to do a charge. And I think that's, you know, what we really need to start focusing on, having those conversations as to what our needs are, what we want from the governance perspective. You know, as I remember a member from the public coming before us probably six months ago, maybe even longer than that, you know, talking from a person who was in a regional school district, that you have to, you know, the smaller community has to be concerned about the governance perspective. So I respect that. And I'm sure, you know, you guys are going to have a different perspective than we are with regards to governance and with regards to other stuff. But I think we need to kind of go in, and I think we all are, in good faith and have those conversations.
At the end of the day, we get to structure this however we want or suggest it. And I look at that report, there's a bunch of finance in there. That's not a contract. They're not guaranteeing anything. At the end of the day, they give us numbers. We use it as a guidepost to you know, shape our thinking. But they're going to walk away, and they're not going to be held to any of those numbers if they don't match up, which is why I've really looked at it from a philosophical point of view. And What do I believe in is going to be the best move? Because if the financial numbers don't shake out, I can still live with it saying this is a better school than we had before, a better system. And we can also shape the administration how we want it. We can shape all these other things. We can take their advice, or we can reject it, or we can tweak it, or we can use part of it, or whatever. So we have the report. It's nice, but at this point, I think we take, now it's us, and we say, here's the things we like. Here's our top five things that are important to us. Here's top five things that are important to you. And here's how we're going to be able to make it work, you know, and there's going to be some give and take both ways. It's not going to be just, because otherwise it's going to be, this school is going to save, you know, $3 million. And this one's going to save $3.2 million. Why would we ever do that? You're going to save $200,000 more. Well, then there's going to be some, maybe there's a trade-off governance wise or whatever. Like we need to figure out what's important to everybody to make it work, you know, because it would be one unit, you know, going forward, whatever that configuration is.
So I guess it centers back around, do we have consensus to narrow what I would say is the four regionalization models, right? I mean, the status quo is not a regionalization model. the shared central office is not a regionalization model, that's just a shared services. So we have four regionalization models in front of us, 9 through 12, 6 through 12, PK through 12, four elementaries, and PK through 12, three elementary schools. Is there, there's been some proposal here to narrow that down to three. I guess I just want to see where we came in on that. Tara, Barb, any other further thoughts after the discussion?
I just have two thoughts. One being, Joe, you had said something that resonates with me, and it just made me really realize what I'm looking for as a representative of constituents is that I'm not just looking for something that we can live with. That's like, it's kind of like settling. And I feel like it's not anyone's job to settle. It's not Ansonia's job to settle. It's not our job to settle. It's our job to be able to look at the taxpayers in the eye and say, I believe in this. I believe it's great for your kids. And I believe it'll be helpful for you financially. And feel really good about it and excited about it. And that might sound really Pollyanna, but that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that Derby taxpayers will say, wow, that's a great deal for us. And so I'm not just looking for something that we can live with. I'm looking for something that will make the taxpayers and the families excited and happy with this opportunity. And in terms of narrowing it down, the only reason why I would take anything off the table at this point, it would be the three elementary school pre-K 2 model, just because of the neighborhood school need that we hear from families that they really want that neighborhood school. So I wouldn't want to get rid of Irving for that reason. But other than that, I do think it's important that we take the time to just hash out all the scenarios, whether we love them, hate them. I think it's worth the time to hash it out, understand it. And then if we end up saying, wow, that really stinks for all of us, then so be it. Then we can say that we together as a group of 10 have hashed it out together. We feel good about that.
Is that a universally held thought? Ixnay on the last one on the screen?
I would tell you, me personally, just as a, and again, truth in full disclosure, as a Derby resident, having lived here my whole life, I have seen an impact to the neighborhood when Franklin School closed. I have seen an impact to the neighborhood when Lincoln School closes. I do think those schools are more important than just, and it's going to sound funny, than educational facilities for our students. I think they're a fabric of the neighborhood. I think there's a life and a buzz that creates, and I think it helps keep the neighborhood alive. And so, again, having been here my whole life, I would tell you that the closing of Franklin School and the closing of Lincoln School and the closing of the old Derby Middle School on Minerva Street all have had what I consider to be detrimental impacts to the neighborhoods. So for me, at this point, I'd be hard pressed to support that option. And I'm just going to be very honest and transparent.
I'm with you on that, Jim. And if I could just share a quick anecdote and then I'll start to stop talking a little bit. But, you know, as you guys know, I grew up in Ansonia. My mom worked in Ansonia Public Schools for 30 something years. She just stopped working there a couple years ago. She worked in every school in Ansonia, every single one. She worked at Nolan School where I went to kindergarten. Nolan School closed. And she was devastated. She worked at Peck School, and Peck School closed, and she missed that family. When she worked at Lincoln School and it closed, it was like rocking the community. It rocked the community. So I know as Ansonia, growing up in Ansonia, and as those neighborhood schools closed down, watching its impact on the community, I know the impact on the community. I lived it in Ansonia. And my mom lived it as an employee of the schools for many years in every school. So I just do feel strongly that for our elementary age kids, we try to hold on to the neighborhood school.
I mean, we're saying, if I just chime in, you know, I think we're both saying similar things about the needs and wants of our communities for different reasons, but we're arriving at the same point where that there are certain options that work better for us than others, and we don't see a consensus for certain options for either community. So, I mean, I'm comfortable with narrowing the focus. I know, Tara, you're indicating you want to look into and look at all of them, but if closing an elementary school, a neighborhood school, is not something that is going to be comfortable for the Derby members, I look at it from the perspective that continuing, I don't know how much additional effort is going to go into that, but let's narrow our focus on realistic options. And I think the realistic options, is if I'm reading the members right, are the two middle options, the 6 through 12 and the PK through 12, for elementary school options. And I'm comfortable looking at those two options side by side and, going through all of this stuff piece by piece and really talking about it. But, I mean, I would say to everybody else, I don't know how you feel about sort of taking those two off the table and talking about the two that it doesn't seem like the two options that everybody wants to look at.
Unless we, I'm just thinking out loud, I'm trying to find the middle ground, right? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. Unless we just say, hey, let's, and again, this is just trying to find the middle ground. And if people aren't comfortable with that, that's fine. Maybe we just say, hey, let's focus on the 6 through 12. Let's focus on the PK through 12 for elementary school. Let's just start to focus there. If we, if we get through it and we're not comfortable, go back, but I'd like to get us to a spot where everyone feels somewhat good about moving forward with.
Well, I guess I would just add in, Jim, is that I see it as we're going to be doing most of the work anyway, because, 9 through 12 is going to be included in any scenario. So we're going to be able to extract those numbers if we need to, if we want to explore them. The only add-in would be the expansion to Bradley in terms of cost, and the savings that you would receive from any closure from Irving, to look at that other option, three elementary schools. So I think we're by studying the two in the middle, you're going to get 80 to 90% of the work done anyway.
Well, I actually agree with that. And there was something I said a week ago or 2 months, whenever we met last on the 22nd, to Nate. Listen, we already have the savings associated with these. We already have the costs associated, well, for the most part, the costs as far as the, we have to decide to be capital contribution or lease, but we have the cost. So I'm not entirely sure that, by moving forward, that we're not going to get the other work, right? We already know what the 9 through 12 regionalized school system is going to cost to renovate the schools. We already know it's going to cost to code violate the school, update that. We have the estimates. I agree with Dr. Stewart. They're not set in stone. We have the estimates of the savings. And by the way, 9 through 12 saves the least amount, right? So you can balance that versus the. And so I guess we're still going to have all that work. So it's not like they just go away forever, right? I mean, we still have the work there.
I agree. I just think that makes the conversations a little bit smoother, because we're not trying to answer four questions. We're only trying to answer two. When we narrow down the focus between the two specific areas and we compare them side by side. So I just, I always tell people in my line of work is that you take them in bite-sized chunks and you try to digest them and you move forward piece by piece and you sort of build everything around it. So that's kind of where I feel like we are. If we take too big a bite, we're going to be chewing for too long. So let's take a little bit of a smaller bite at first, and if we find we want to take on the other challenges and to those two others in the scenarios, I think we'll have the ability and the information to be able to do so.
So, Joe, I'm not trying to be catastrophic by any stretch.
Sure.
Please don't take this. I don't want to put you on the spot at all. But there's one thing that you said here that I think I just want to clarify. You said that the 9 through 12 doesn't work for Antonia, and you said. All five members would vote against it. So in essence, and again, I don't want to be on the spot, but in essence, the message is, hey, if it's 9 through 12, I don't want to use wasting our time, but we're spinning our wheels. Antonio's voting on any of this. In essence, if the work of this committee for the next 13 months comes down to 9 through 12 regionalization, that ends the talks. If five of you guys win vote for it, it just ends everything. And it ends 3 years of work.
And again, Jim, I'll put this out there, is that I've had conversations with all the Ansonia members, and that seems to be the consensus. As I sit here right now, will I tell you that each one of them will vote no? No, I'm not going to speak for them. Something can certainly change their mind, and they're all reasonable people. And as more information comes out, certainly that, you know, and additional conversations take place, maybe they'll revisit where they were when they initially saw this report, and they're, you know, sort of looking at it holistically. So I can't say that, but that's the general consensus, is that that's the least liked option for our membership. I'll put it that way.
Last question, and again, I'm just trying to get everybody to some consensus and somehow move forward. what's the harm of just moving forward to question number two, talking about contribution and lease, moving ahead, and start to try to define these costs?
No harm.
Okay.
I don't think there's any harm in that. I do think that there's harm in throwing it 9 to 12 right now. And the reason is because I completely hear you, Joe, and I hear that that is not something that Ansonia is interested in. And I respect that. I'm representing Derby, and I owe it to my constituents to fully research that, to be able to tell them, yeah, I agreed with the Ansonia contingency, and I didn't want it either. But I can't do that until I do that work with you guys. So I feel like we owe it to our people to do that work. I'm not comfortable not doing that work just because you're all going to vote no. We owe it to our people to do that work.
But aren't you doing the work anyway by doing the 6 through 12?
So let's keep all three on the table.
Right, but then why not? But then to throw the three elementary school back in there as well, because that's still viable from our perspective. You see what I'm saying here?
Let's do it all.
Let's keep them all four in there. Let's keep them all in there.
So then I revise my recommendation. Take this sheet and you split four columns instead of two, and we start working on it.
Yes, sir. It sounds like. I think in order to move the ball forward, keep consensus. It sounds like in order to move the ball forward and keep consensus and keep everyone moving forward, I don't think it's a whole lot of extra work. But it sounds like I think what everyone would support, although not 100%, it's probably 80% for everybody. What everyone would support is saying, "Hey, the central office is the next phase. That's shared services." Let's do four buckets, 9 through 12, 6 through 12, PK through 12, 4 elementary, PK through 3 elementary. Well, that'll be our answer for number one, and then move on to question 2A. It's not everyone's ideal, but it's everyone's 80%.
But maybe. Jim, but here's my concern with doing that. And again, this is why, you know, at the beginning I said I think we need to sort of narrow the focus to have better conversations amongst ourselves, to really get down to the needs and wants of our communities and what we're aiming for here, which is, you know, those greater educational opportunities, as well as seeing if we can realize efficiencies and better cost savings. When we have every conversation and there's a four option answer, okay, we're either going to have to do one of two things to meet our deadline within, you know, we're under the, what, we're at the about 17 months left on our most recently recharged approval from our boards of aldermen. We're going to have to either double up how many meetings we're having and address these in bite-sized pieces to really get to the nitty-gritty, if that's what we want to do. We have the majority of the information that we're talking about here, but if we're going to have a conversation about 9 through 12 every meeting, 6 through 12 every meeting, and both PK through 12 situations every meeting, they're going to be very long meetings. Trying to have those discussions. So that, I guess what I would say to you, what that, and that's why I was suggesting somewhat of narrowing, since we're going to get most of that work done anyway, is if we're going to stay on a 2-meeting-a-month schedule like we have been, trying to tackle some of these things and get down and have these conversations, it's easier to have an either-or conversation, knowing full well that additional information is there, as opposed to trying to have 4 separate conversations, because they're all going to get intertwined and mixed up. That's just my
perspective. I hear you. I just feel that I hear you 100%. I'd like to think it's not as much work because a lot of it's there, it's just calling it out. I do hear you, but I'll tell you, my concern is that you're right. I think we have approximately February, March, April, and June. We have 18 months left. 18 to 20 months, right? February was 2 years. We're in June. So over the next 20 months, I think I'm just afraid that if we start to lose a little bit of cohesiveness now or lose someone now, that worries me too, truthfully. And it sounds like it sounds like we may lose people if we eliminate options. And so for me to move forward, even though I would tell you right now, and I've been very honest, that the 3 elementary school option doesn't work real well for me, because I've seen what ripping a neighborhood school out of a neighborhood has done through my whole life here. If it's what I need to do and spend a little bit more time to get to question 2A for tonight, I guess I feel like I need to do that. And that's just me personally.
Okay. I mean, so let's ask the question 2A1 through 2A2, 2A3, 2A4, and start on the answer.
Okay. So let's try to go to 2A. Will the schools be contributed or leased? So Doc, can we go to page 9? So I think, and this is going to go back to the premise of, I think Dr. Schuer said this, it might have been Joe, but I think it was Dr. Schuer, about trying to look at the big picture and, what's best for all involved. I mean, so for me, I was surprised at the closeness between the contributions on the last column. But I do think that if we do the contribution rate, gee whiz, that's going to be rough and not in the best interest of both towns. That's just an observation.
Say that one more time, please.
I'm not entirely sure that buildings being contributed is in the best interest of both towns collectively. So if you do a contribution and you do 9 through 12 regionalized only, well, gee whiz, that's real bad for Derby, right? Derby's got to contribute $13 million, Ansonia gets $9 million, right? Whereas if you do that as a lease option, it's much better for obviously Derby.
Okay. Herein lies our problem, is that the contribution under the 9 through 12 situation for Ansonia is certainly not a bad option.
Yeah, but if the lease, the costs that are shown on if buildings are leased are the capital costs that need to be paid for after the fact. But if it's being leased, how much is the city of Ansonia leasing their building to the region in that case? Is that cost is not shown?
Yeah, $1.
We would have to determine that, Rich, based on kind of the equal. That sort of goes into the equalization question, is that whether or not it's $1 a year, whether or not we need to, it's being offset with something else, that scenario.
Well, how is that fair to the Ansonia taxpayers?
Well, that's my, again, the contribute, that's sort of the question that's on the table, is that if contributions versus lease in each different scenario affects each community differently. So like in the scenario 9 through 12, Ansonia works out much better if we contribute, as opposed to on the 6 through 12 scenario, Derby works out much better if they contribute.
Right.
Yeah, but those are the true numbers in reality of what the costs are. I mean, you know, Ansonia has the newer high school, so in the 9 through 12, that benefits Ansonia. In the 6 through 12 regional, we need the middle school, so now it kind of equals out and goes the opposite direction. But in a lease option, where does either town benefit on any of these columns for the lease part of this? There's still an inequity between the two in the overall contribution that needs to be at least looked at to have some kind of a benefit to either town, depending on the scenario, I think.
It doesn't seem very equalized, is your point, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Well, yeah, I mean, we probably paid $32 million for the high school. Right. So in the 9 through 12 scenario, okay, with this thing on the leased option, Derby commits, it has to pay $1.4 million. Ansonia has to pay $2.5 million to do the construction to increase size to accept Derby's high school age students. Yet, Derby hasn't paid anything for the school up front. That's all been Ansonia taxpayers. There needs to be an equalization in there. And I thought that was going to be part of the leasing process, that, you know, the lease might be $300,000 a year or something being paid for that school, or to some number, just to help offset the cost that we've been paying over that over time. But if that's not truly the case, we should know that up front at least.
Yeah, I think that's part of the discussion, Rich.
Okay.
It's Barbara. Can I add something? If I remember from last week's meeting, these numbers were projected from the proportionate amount of students in each district. So that's how I understood these numbers. And Ansonia had 64% and Derby has 36%.
Yeah, but that's just for the increased cost to do the
construction.
The construction after the fact.
The building contribution portion isn't divvied up that way, Barbara.
Okay. Let me look back at my notes.
I thought that it was.
Look at the building contributed. That's the true cost allocation between the towns for each scenario based on their actual value of the buildings. And that would be the variation in that column. So the leasing part, it's like the building goes in for free and in either one of those, and in some Ansonia benefits and some Derby benefits, but in the lease option, there is an adjustment that probably needs to be made one way or another.
Well, how did they come up with those figures for the leasing option?
The figures on the leasing are the added construction costs. So if Derby comes into Ansonia's high school for 9 through 12, Ansonia would need to put an addition on it to accept the additional students. And that cost was $3-4 million or whatever it was. That would be the allocated percentage of that increased cost of construction to add on to Ansonia High School to accept the Derby High School schools. But it takes into account 0.01 for the original cost of the building or the value of the building.
No, as I understood it, in the 9 through 12 scenario, Derby's contribution is their percentage of students based on the value that was attributed to the high school.
Well, if Doc, can you go to page 5 for a second, please?
Right?
Yeah, but that would be if that number is actually the one under if the buildings are contributed.
Yes.
Okay, the $13 million that Derby would contribute, Ansonia would get $9 million of it, and the other $4 million would be the cost of construction between or for the additional space needed at high school level. Those are the real numbers of what the valuations are.
Right.
So if we
I would just say
just the increased cost piece that's being allocated out.
I'm not entirely sure that's accurate though. If you go to page 5, the contribution to buildings, I think Barb's right. I think it does take into account the, and it's right there on page 5. I think whether you contribute or lease, it does take into account the 64-36 split. So, it's just, It's just obviously, you know, you are right though, Rich. You do have a new, you do have a $32 million school, whereas, you know, Derby's is $25 million, but our high school, they gave a zero. So that's why the 6-12 becomes a little bit better. But I just want to confirm, or at least, so before we got too far off, the contribution to buildings does take into account the 64-36 split, as does the lease.
But that's the that's contributing of the buildings.
It's also for leased, though. I just did the math on the different scenarios for the leasing. And in each scenario, when you add it up and multiply it by 64% and 36%, you get those figures. So the leasing is also based on population.
And the leasing is only the construction, if I
understand. Only the construction. It's only that's additional cost of construction to accommodate the extra students. It doesn't take into consideration the original cost of the building or the value of the building.
The lease takes into account the renovation and the code, any work that you do to it, the code violations. That part of it is split 64-30. The capital right. contribution, they do. They say, okay, Ansonia has to contribute 64% of the capital. Derby has to contribute 36%. They look at each option and they say, okay, it's the high school option. Here's what Ansonia's worth. Bring it to the table. Here's what Derby's bringing to the table. And they do the 64-36 split on that, which is why obviously 9-12, it's more advantageous to you guys because you have a new middle school, a high school. But as you go down the line K-12, then the you know you start to factor in our middle school, you factor in the Bradley school, then it gets a little more equal. So I do agree that I do agree, and you're right, Rich. You know. You're right. If you lease the buildings to a regionalized school system, the folks in Ansonia who paid the school for the last 5 years or 10 years, I don't know how old it is, you know, they are in theory, they're in theory, you know, turning that over. Now I don't know how many of those people moved out of town. I mean, I don't know you're right. I mean that is something that has to be to be considered for certain. I agree.
Jim
now, the
Joe,
good news is on back to 12 anyway. All right, Doc, can we go back to 9, please?
Steve, did you have something to add?
Yes, actually two questions. And I'm not sure if I understood this correctly from the presentation of the consultants last time, but I thought it was noted that in most cases of regionalization was to lease the buildings for a dollar. You know, the regional district leases the buildings from the participating towns for a dollar each. And that has been the norm in most regionalizations. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's what they stated, yes.
And the Colebrook Board of Education report, Dr. Adamowski, they did, it was a 25-year lease. Of course, they've been passed, but an initial term of 25 years, escape clause by statute, rent a dollar annually. So that was how the last, that he communicated, that's how the Colebrook one did, yes.
I mean, it strikes me that we can go crazy trying to figure out who's going to benefit more or less from every school. You know, I think what you look for here is on a K-12 basis to come out fairly equally such that you would feel comfortable just leasing the buildings to the regional school district for a dollar. And just following that point a little further is another question. And that is whether or not the addition at Ansonia High School could be avoided if the middle school added ninth grade.
I'm not sure. Are you talking at a K-12? If that were to be Derby Middle School, the addition now, I think there's about 350 to 400 students at the Derby Middle School.
Ansonia. Yeah, so I'm whether it was a K-12 model or 6-12 model, Could the addition at Ansonia High School be avoided if the middle school added ninth grade? And does the middle school have the capacity to retain ninth grade?
No, because I think if you use Derby's Middle School, it already needs to more than double in size in order to accommodate.
Exactly.
Ansonia currently had middle school only has seventh and eighth grade in it. If we were to add sixth, seventh, and eighth, and add ninth grade, that would make that school probably a 1,200 student complex.
Okay.
That would have been a fine exploration if we had given them, you know, if we had known that idea a while back and had them explore and come up with those figures. That could have been one other thing to explore, but we don't have the information now, and there's already so much additions being added to Derby Middle in that scenario. I wonder myself if that would be an option to add a whole other grade.
Unless you were to take the high school and the middle school in Derby and make it a complex, renovate the high school to be a 6-9 variation.
I think for that same reason, though, didn't they just abandon Derby High School altogether because of the cost of any use or repurposing of that school?
Right. Well, I just thought it was because Ansonia had the newer high school, they were going to go there. So I don't really know.
I thought it was due to codes being so, you know, old and not up to code, and the cost of making it to repurpose it to fit more kids. That was my understanding, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay. No, I didn't.
Really well, know. I guess, you know, let me rephrase my question a little bit, because in my own mind, I keep thinking of Derby Middle School and High School as one complex. So let me rephrase that by saying, if we had a ninth grade academy, you know, which nationally is something that that you can find in a lot of places, distinct from the high school. If we had a ninth grade academy in the Derby High School building, you know, is that viable, and could it avoid the addition in Ansonia High School?
So you're saying ninth grade only in Derby High? Only ninth grade?
Yes. Yes. Again, I'm just offering that as a way of avoiding the equalization issue for the high school and middle school. I think the rest of this works out fairly equally on a K-12 basis. And I think this really, I think we're going to drive ourselves crazy trying to figure out who's going to gain or lose school by school, which is why, you know, most regional districts simply contribute the buildings for a dollar a year to the regional district.
And I don't think I have a problem with that if it's a K-12 scenario, but the 9-12, there's only one school, and that's where the anomaly exists.
Right, right. So I think you do have to go K-12, or you have to go 6-12 and utilize Derby High School in some way that would avoid an addition for Ansonia High School. But having said that, if there's no interest in pursuing that, my sense is we should be looking at K-12 and the lease of schools for a dollar a year to the regional district.
Now, listen, and I don't have, it's just so you almost can't have it both ways, right? So in again, all due respect, Mr. Bashir is like, well, look at the Ansonia High School. If we do that model, boy, Ansonia really comes out in the short end of the stick. Now you can make the same argument if PK-12 for elementary school, Derby comes out in the fourth short end of the stick. And I'm not saying that, I'm just saying you can't have it both ways, right? You can't say, hey, well, on the option that suits us, it should be a lease, but in the option that suits Derby, in the option that suits us, it should be capital contribution, but in the option that suits Derby, it should be a lease, right? If we're not truly not interested in what benefits both cities, then should it not be an across-the-board decision?
Yes, I agree fully, Jim. That is my point.
Let me just restate. I'm not in favor of the contribution. I don't think the city would be in favor of contributing land on this. So I'm in favor of the lease, but it should be an equitable lease across both parties.
That's fair, but then you got to, so let's say this ends up PK-12, regionalized four elementary schools, or 6-12 regionalized schools. You have to remember that you said that. because look at the cost differential to the city of Derby in those. And so you're now saying, hey, if it was 9 through 12, the city of Ansonia and the taxpayer should be protected, and the lease should be like $300,000 a year to protect the Ansonia. And I would just ask you to have the same mindset. If it was 6 through 12 regionalized school system, or PK through 12 regionalized school system with four elementary schools, because then the tables are reversed. And Ansonia is, you know, let's say PK through 12 regionalized, you'd be contributing almost $10 million. You'd owe us $454 million. So I just would caution you to have this, to maybe not have that mindset, because when you get to the options that are advantageous to Derby, then that would be harmful for you, and it would be harmful for your town. That's all.
Yeah. I'll just add in, Jim, is that I agree that I don't think the, under any of those scenarios, unless you get to the last one, which somewhat equalizes, you're really looking at vast swings from one district to the other in the contribution scenario that really makes it very difficult to narrow that down. I think the lease option, I think Rich is right. I think both communities, the cities in both communities would have difficulty contributing land and buildings to a new regional creation. I think they'd be much more comfortable with a scenario where it's a lease for a period of time under those scenarios. That's just my
concern. No, I agree. What I was saying is that Rich said, hey, if it was 9 through 12, it shouldn't be a dollar a year. The city of Derby should pay like $300,000 a year because the value of our schools is greater. What I'm saying is 6 through 12 that you guys had proposed earlier, well, you know, that's Ansonia in theory, you know, would contribute $7.5 million when you look at the values of the school. So I don't, my point to all is we shouldn't wait. Maybe we shouldn't be having discussions about waiting a lease based upon value of the property. I think that hurts your town in two of the four options.
Jim, can I jump in? I just want to say I'm in support of a lease as well. I don't think contributing to buildings is the way to go. Doing a lease, and I would do a nominal, you know, the dollar a year type 25-year lease or whatever. Because again, is, you know, we would have more equity in our high school. But again, if we go with the full K through 12, then you also have it in your middle school. So basically over the course of everything, it should be a wash if we go with a lease or the 64-36 percentage or whatever it's going to be. But I think that, you know, what we want to do is make things as equitable for everybody. And I think the lease is the way to do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's getting ugly out there. Okay, I mean, the weather-wise. Okay, so is there any other discussion? So it sounds like for the most part, people are headed, at least the people who've weighed in or leaning more towards the lease. Anybody else want to weigh in?
Can I just ask a point of clarification?
Sure.
Mr. Becerra, when you were mentioning the leasing numbers,
where was that?
Being off balance, for example, if we look at the 6-12 regionalized, Ansonia is $4,166,000 and Derby is $2,553,000. Were you saying before that you think that that needs to be more equalized, in that if we're just going to lease, you know, for a dollar, and then those contributions should be more equal? Is that what you were saying before? I'm just trying to understand your point.
Sorry, it took me a while to get unmuted here. No, in that scenario, 6-12, the value of Ansonia High School and the value of Derby Middle School are fairly close. And that number of 4 million versus 2.5 million is basically the 60-40 split of the increased costs for both schools to add on to them to accommodate both parties being done. So in that scenario, the two schools are the newest two, one in Derby, one in Ansonia, and that's very equitable, or should be fairly equitable in the overall value of what's being contributed by each town. So to me, it's more in the 9-12. There's only one town contributing a major capital asset, yet both towns will get the use of it for a dollar a year, But in the 6-12 or even the PK through 12, the valuations of the schools will be fairly similar, that the $1 at least would work in those, in my opinion. It's the 9 through 12 one that, to me, I have an issue with.
Okay. So you're saying that because Derby would end up using your really nice school, we should pay you more money?
Say that one more
time. I don't mean that to be fresh or anything.
Look, I want to, the quicker we get out our feelings, the quicker we're going to finish this.
No, yeah, I just call a spade a spade. So you're just saying that because you've paid on this school now for a little over 20 years, I believe, if I recall correctly, because Derby gets to be in that school, we should pay more.
In the contribution scenario, I think is what he's saying.
No, he was saying the lease scenario.
Even in the lease side of this.
Look. He was saying the lease scenario. So that's where I get a little stuck. So I just want to make sure I understand you. You're saying that even though this is divided 64-36, even if we lease it a dollar each, you think we should pay more because we get to be in Ansonia High School, which is really nice.
It's not that it's really nice. It's that there's no equal contribution of capital from the Derby taxpayer. In the 6 through 12 version, there is equal contribution of capital. So that should be fairly okay. Hey, that's okay then, because both sides have skin in the game, if you will. And so it makes it more fair and equitable both times, in my opinion.
No, but if you look at page 9, and I don't want to, you're right, I don't mean to be hard on this point, but if you look at page 9, which has the cost, and you look at the 6 to 12 regionalized model, if the buildings were contributed based upon the 64-36 split, and Sony would have to contribute $7.4 million. Derby would be owed $743,000. You can't have it both ways. You can't say on the 9 through 12 option, because our school is a greater value, we should change the lease, but not do it on the 6 through 12. When Anthony would contribute more, you can't have it both ways.
I don't disagree, and maybe that is true, that we might have to end up for that. But that's why Ansonia's position is the three schools really makes the most common in PK through 12.
So, yeah, but that's easy to say, because you're not ripping an elementary school out of your neighborhood, though. I mean, so yeah, it's easy to say.
Well, we've done that, and in my opinion, from what I hear, and I don't have kids that are in school anymore, but everything I've heard, the method that we have now up here where everybody's consolidated on both Prendergast and Meade is working excellent, and there's wonderful progress, and everybody's happy with it. Now, every town is going to have their own philosophy on that, but to say that ours is not functioning well, I think is a mistake.
I didn't say that. I would tell you, my guess would be if you polled the people on Franklin Street, Holbrook Street, Jackson Street, they would tell you they like the school there a lot better.
Mr. Chair, can I speak?
Yeah, sure.
A bad habit of mine is I pay attention to everything. And so just now, when you said our position is that, Mr. Becerra, that struck me, because I don't have a position. I feel like I'm in a place now where we're going to start to work together to figure out what we understand and what we want for our kids. And so it just struck me the wrong way to suggest that a whole group of people already have a position before we really dug into the work. I don't have a position other than that initial, other than the fact that, you know, the neighborhood school thing is something that our constituents really like. Other than that, I don't have a position, and I just want to make that clear. Like, I'm ready to dig in.
Well, I'm going to say something now. It's Barbara, because I feel like this last hour, honestly, there's so much information here. And I agree with Tara, especially when it's been Ansonia's consensus. I mean, I'm kind of at loss for words on that, when we're supposed to be working together and try to get through this. But I mean, I can't even wrap my head around some of these numbers. And to come right out and say, well, this is what we, you know, we need to do. And I feel like that's what Ansoni is doing right now. So I just have to say that I kind of, I agree with Tara and I agree with Jim. And, you know, it's not going to be for either city. And honestly, I think a lot of this is being driven by the political stance that has been in the paper in the last week. And that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here for politics. You know, I'm not going to, we have to do what's in the best scenario, the best interest for both cities and our residents. And, you know, I'm not going to push, and I don't care if it takes 18 months instead of, you know, meeting three times a month, because we have a lot of material here. And realistically, we just got more information last week. There's been delay for months now. So to say, okay, this is what we're going to do tonight. You know, I have about 10 minutes left on this meeting, and then I have to leave the meeting. So, but I just want to get my feelings of this is what I'm seeing tonight.
Well, I would just say, you know, and I, again, anybody else from Ansoni wants to speak up, is that I don't think that's the position that we took. What we stated was, is that we have talked to each other, and there's a consensus amongst us that prefers certain scenarios better than other scenarios, and certain scenarios don't work well for the city of Ansonia. And I don't think saying that out loud means that we're not trying to work together. I mean, that's just my perspective. I think that's being upfront and being open and trying to have that open dialogue, just like I would expect you, as you guys say, that closing a neighborhood school doesn't really work for your constituents. Whether or not we want to say that's a position or not, that is a position. You're indicating that that's not a preference by you, your membership, and your constituents. And having that open dialogue is preferred from my perspective, because it helps narrow down the issues that I think we need to have a conversation about, which is what would work for Derby, what would work for Ansonia. Let's roll up our sleeves and try to work together and talk these things through. I think there is a consensus that the lease scenario works better than the contribution scenario. You know, one of the things that was said a little bit earlier is that, you know, that 6 to 12 scenario, that $7.4 million contribution number. But that's also taking the whole facility into perspective, because it hadn't been broken down. So I'm not 100%. The numbers, like we said, they're good faith estimates, I think, in most of these scenarios. And I think we can rely on them to get us close to where we want to be. But because we didn't have a breakdown, there was no breakdown between Derby High School, Derby Middle School, and then the attached fields and the valuation there, you can't get it. You're trying to get it in the same ballpark and then have a conversation as to whether or not, you know, that lease needs to be used to equalize anything. I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and have that conversation. But to say we don't have positions from the town perspective is just, I don't agree with that. I think we do have positions. Whether or not we remain open-minded and willing to continue having discussions is different. But we do have positions. That's, you know, I just wanted to contribute that.
Okay. So going back to 2A, page 9, is there consensus on leasing versus contribution?
I think leasing.
If anybody is opposed to the lease, can you state that? Once, twice, three times. All right, we've come to consensus on something. That's awesome. So, but I would say these are very helpful contributions, discussions. I mean, okay, 2B. If leased, how much would the buildings be leased for?
$1.
Now, here's
what I would say. I think we have to be consistent across the board, and I would disagree that we should look at different models and have different lease amounts. I think we should be consistent across the board. So somebody proposed a dollar lease. Is there anybody who has an issue with that?
No, I agree with that. I think that's where we start. I think we started a dollar a year per building, per, you know, and work from there. And if we, like I said, if we needed to equalize later under some scenario, then we have that ability. But if we leave it at a dollar now, we know what we're dealing with.
I will send the language out from the Colebrook. I think I may have sent it. I don't remember. But the Colebrook Board of Education It talks about the length of the lease. It talks about the dollar. It just helps in that language out. Does anybody have a disagreement for that being a point of where we are right now for today?
I have a disagreement with that depending on the scenario being discussed.
But Rich, you know what? If it ends up as 6 through 12, then if I, that is 6 through 12, if we do that, see, if Derby holds strong for 6 through 12 to have a different lease, it will be financially difficult for Ansonia. So that's fine. If you want to hold out for Ansonia, then I would say I would have a similar position if you do 6 through 12. And I would not want to do dollar lease for 6 through 12 or 9 through 12 for schools. You
and
just can't have it both ways.
Down, depending on the scenario.
Okay.
But again, I think a good starting point is that because before I think you can even get to those numbers, Rich, is in that scenario is to know what number one, what do you want to equalize in each scenario? Under the 9 through 12, I understand what you're saying, okay? But until you have it actually laid out in front of you, what are we trying to do in a 6 through 12 in the pre-K through 12 scenario? You know, what value are you going to put on that lease?
I don't know. I think all the numbers need to be looked at again because I'm not totally sure I agree with what they are, but look, the chips fall where they fall, but I still think there should be equalization between the towns in some form or fashion that brings it at least somewhat close to each other, or it needs to at least be looked at. I'm not willing to just give a blanket dollar across the board for all scenarios.
It does give you the ability to do that, Rich. In the document, it says that under the lease option, you can come up with any kind of arrangement you want as far as the renovation goes. So maybe it's a arrangement that you,
oh my god, like lightning.
Rich.
Page five. Near
the window.
Page five of the document says.
In terms of your point, Mr. Becerra, I don't agree that there should be any more equalization in the lease option other than the dollar per district and the 6436. I think people should only pay per pupil, whatever that ratio is.
Right
to
there.
Pay more or any less because we hold a higher value for a certain physical structure, I don't think that makes sense. I don't think that kids will get a better education because of the building that they're in. And therefore, I don't think it's worth spending any more money or reconfiguring any of these leasing numbers. I think they are what they are, 6436. And we move forward with those numbers, if we move forward at all.
And I would also weigh in, Rich, that the 9 through 12 option is something you're not interested in. And of the remaining three options, two-thirds of them, it's to Ansonia's benefit to lease without any bias towards capital contribution. Two of the three options on the table after 9 through 12, it's to Ansonia's benefit to have no bias based upon capital contribution. I'm just missing something, I guess. But if you're not comfortable, you're not comfortable.
Although I'm one vote. I express my opinion, but my opinion is for both sides. Whichever side has the higher number to be contributed, there should be some discussion on that. I'm not saying full, but there should be discussion on it, whether it's Ansonia or Derby. I'm not being political in nature here. I'm looking
at the
number perspective.
You know, that's admirable. I would also say what Dr. Stewart said on page, the very last question we're gonna hit is, should the equalization portion of the agreement strictly address the values of the facilities contributed? And that's in somewhere in there where you could balance and say, well, you know what?
It's bold.
Good, Dr. Short.
It's the part that's in blue there on the screen.
But if, yep. You're right. I see it. I agree.
Top of the new rate, if you want. If you could balance it as kind of sort of along the lines of what Rich was saying. So in that case, in the high school model, there would be more coming from Derby to Ansonia, but in the other, from 6 to 12, it would be coming the other. Personally, when I looked at it, the only thing that's going to be a conversation that's going to go anywhere is the lease with just no discussion, and you just accept it. It is, you know.
That statement highlighted in blue referenced the allocation of renovation costs.
Right.
Not a contributed capital cost, or at least contribution costs.
Right, but if you have, say that the high school needs to be outfitted, then you can arrange a different rate for the renovations based to sort of make up some of the difference, if you wanted to do that.
Okay. I mean, I guess I'll say this, because I mean, to try to give the explanation as I see it from the argument that Rich was making is that if you assume the facilities are cash themselves and at a startup, in a startup of an entity, what Rich, I think, and I mean, Rich, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you're assuming that the facility is cash and that is your capital contribution to the startup of the venture. Once you get to renovations and operating costs, he's talking about the split of the costs even in that 64-36 scenario going forward. So he's looking, saying, okay, well, what is the trade-off in that scenario? You know, in different environments, there's a different trade-off in different situations. He's saying there's a value to it. Whether it's a dollar value or not, that's to be discussed, but I understand the argument.
Yeah, I kind of look at it, maybe I'm just a numbers guy, so I look at things a little differently. If we were to be building this regional school district in whatever form or fashion, with no buildings on the ground, how would the split of the cost end up being? And it should be similar in the, because the buildings are there, the values are basically cash contribution to it. So you kind of did. But let me just say this. I apologize if I've offended anyone.
No.
Get used to it, because this is me. I apologize. I'm not trying to hurt anybody.
I can be honest with you. I think tonight's the most honest we've been with each other, and that's probably helpful. And I mean that very sincerely. You know, I mean, I think we've been honest. We've been truthful. We've been forthright. And I, no offense really whatsoever. My God, I have 7 kids, boy. Gee whiz, they offend me every day.
Yeah, 10 strong personalities. So.
It's all good. Okay.
No offense taken at all. I know you're a numbers guy. I just wanted to understand your thinking. I like to really understand everyone's points really well so that I can build upon my own understanding. So that's all. I ask a lot of questions. So yeah. I know I it's not at all anything else.
I will defer to you on a lot of the educational things, because I don't know as much about there. So I think together with all of our backgrounds, we kind of come together and hopefully we get where we need to be.
Exactly.
So I agree. And listen, awesome, excellent, honest conversation. So where do we end up on 2B? If leased, how much will the buildings be leased for? Are we going to start out with the dollar and then try to change that depending on what option to based upon that line that Dr. Stewart pointed out on page 5? Or do you want to leave 2B open for now?
Yes.
The group trying to do.
I mean, that's my preference, Jim, and the reason I suggest that is because I understand what Rich is saying. And whether or not that's a cash contribution or something that's contributed in a different way, there's an innate value to it. So I understand that, but I also understand, you know, under certain circumstances, it doesn't come down to money. So there's a value attributed to it. I think we can probably all agree that there's a value attributed to that. So I think you start with the dollar. And then you work with it that way to say, hey, okay, what are you guys, you know, how are we going to work it out under certain scenarios? I think that's what makes the most sense.
And I support the dollar as well.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Does anybody have an issue with the dollar, at least recognizing that we'll have a discussion later on about other ways to compensate for the value on the lease differential? Later on in the questionnaire, anybody with an issue with the dollar, state it now, please.
I'll agree with the dollar if we get to discuss it on number 5.
Okay, Rich. Thank you, sir. Okay. 3A, do we accept the valuations outlined in this document? So, Doc, would you be so kind as to go to page 6? And I would be remiss if I didn't thank everyone who was certainly on the line here, but Dr. DeBacco and Dr. Conway, we certainly appreciate you here, your engagement, and certainly the work you've been doing on the programming behind the scenes. Thank you very much. Okay, so I think this has been explained a bunch of different times. I know, for instance, Derby questioned, you know, this two schools and whether the $25 million is accurate. I know Ansonia has questioned the $11 million. For the sake of moving forward, though, these are the appraisals. I mean, I don't know if anybody has a different thought process of what we should be using. That's fine. If not, is there anyone here who has issues with using these figures, the appraised figures, for moving the ball forward?
Jim, I would just add is that I don't right now, unless different numbers come back, able splitting up the facilities in Derby. If we get more information there, I think we need to revisit and have a conversation there. If we can assess value to each building and attribute, you know, value to the field and things like that, I think that warrants another discussion. But other than that, I think, you know, for the sake of arguments, you go, you move forward with what you got.
Does anybody think
Didn't last week we ask that this a couple of these things be clarified?
Yeah, we did ask Simone if the fields were there. I called her today. She did not believe they were there. She had reached out to Michelle from Silver Petticelli. She was away from the office, but I can tell you that none of the figures they used included the fields.
It was
did not include the fields. Is that what you said, Jim?
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
I mean, it was just the schools, the physical structures of the schools. Unless, but by fields, let me just say, I mean by the fields that were owned by the cities. You know, yeah, I just want to be clear about that.
And I was just going to add something similar, Jim. I know that all of the buildings are technically owned by the city, but the fields are the jurisdiction of the city, whereas the buildings are the jurisdiction of the schools. So I feel like I'm not sure that I'm wondering, and I know I asked this question last week, I'm wondering now if we put a value to fields, because it's not solely for the purpose of the education of the kids, it's for the public as well. So I'm questioning my own question last week on that. Because there's value to it. We can put a subjective value to the use of it, but it's not sole use of the public schools.
I personally would, again, this is only my opinion, I would use the school appraisals. I would not include the fields that are under city control, because I don't know where you draw the line. You draw the line, I know it's a small field, but the Doyle Park up off of Prindle, do you draw the line at the Whittick Park soccer fields? I mean, where do you draw the lines? Sure. So I personally would not muddy the waters. Me personally would go with these figures to move the ball forward. If something changes in 2-3 months, based upon the work we do, that may change the Derby High School part of it. I might introduce it then, but for me, I would not include the fields that are in city control. I think that muddies the water.
But one of the comments I made last week was, what did they include the fields? Then that's what they're supposed to update. So again, if you want to take these numbers now with clarifications that, you know, but what did they include, you know, what did they do to come up with this number? That was the question last week.
Yeah. I talked to Simone about a few things today. Michelle from Silver Petroselli was out because, I also had a question on the Mead school. The roof was listed twice. So I had asked her a few questions like that. So the fields, you know, we do not believe this includes the field. She has an email to Silver Petroselli. I believe, and I think she used the phrase 90% certain, that it did not include the fields. This would include the appraised cost of Ansonia High School and the property that Ansonia High School sits on. The Ansonia Middle School on Howard Avenue and the property in the lot that Ansonia Middle School sits on, Mead Elementary School and the lot and so forth. If there's any changes that it includes fields, I will report back to folks. But at this point, I believe that these figures are the appraised values of the schools and the sites that they sit on. And my perspective is I was happy with that because, again, I think once you start to add in and layer in fields. I don't know where that stops. Again, I don't want to, you know, Doyle Park, you know, the Wittick Park. I think we should just go with the schools. The properties are on. Go with the appraised value to move the ball forward. And again, if something changes where, hey, we might use Derby High School, then, or something changes, then to reevaluate at that point, or split it up. I mean,
I'm getting what you're saying, but by what I said last week was this, it's still, they could look at a field card for Derby High School, and it says it's 10 acres. So part of that 10 acres is the field. So what did they use? I mean, you'd have to know that. They looked at a field card, and it's one big parcel, then those fields are there. So that's in the valuation. I just, you know, I want to be clear. That's all. That's all, yeah. I'm saying.
That's fair. I'm trying to open up the let me go to the Derby High School sheet.
It doesn't have to happen now, Jim. But you know, if you want to use this number with the idea that it certainly can change when they clarify what did they appraise, what did they look at, you know, on their field card when they came up with the appraisal for the building.
Simone and I have a, we'll be filing up tomorrow, and I'll clarify that. Again, I was under the impression that Bradley School included the school that, you know, that the structure was on. But I will absolutely look back to make sure that it didn't. Well, I'll report back on that. I got you.
Thank you.
Anyway, Simone and I did talk today, but unfortunately, truth be told, I don't know if she did much with it since our last meeting, and the person I needed today from Silver Petrocelli wasn't in there. Okay, so it sounds like number three, unless, and again, pending just clarification of the field, sounds like for now 3A is a yes. And I will report back. 3B, would Derby High School be contributed to the regional entity? No. So herein lies my question, to just try to have the discussion. I know the only, I do think, and I do believe that Tara is right, that when we talked to the folks from Silver Petrocelli when they came out, they had cited the sheer amount of work that would be necessary to bring that up, per se. They talked about the vast amount of ADA compliance issues in the restrooms, the shower rooms. They talked about the heat in there, the electric heat, and the annual cost, and how once they factored that in the annual cost, they did intentionally take Derby High School out for those reasons. My only question is, we do have a Rays Academy in there. We have a Little Raiders University in there. And we have the Advanced Manufacturing Center in there. So I don't know. I guess my question is, do we find alternative sites for those three, or do they become, or do they stay? I don't know the answer. I posed that out loud, I guess.
I think that, I mean, my two cents is, I think that goes back to kind of what I alluded to with 3A, is that if it's a part of it, if you can separate it out and attribute a different value to it, I think it makes that question a little bit easier to answer. So if they, I know it's the same parcel and it's on the same card, but you know, assessing each building separately, because it is being appraised and presented as one single unit. So I guess from that perspective is that, is it being contributed to the regional entity? Does it have any other uses without being contributed? Would be my question. You know, is there a value there to the city, to the local board of education, to be able to use that facility for something else that would require that kind of separation?
Yeah. I don't think, and if I'm wrong, please correct me. The value is $25 million, because they had basically said there would be no use for Derby High School if you separate it out. So I guess if we leave Little Raiders University there, if you leave Advanced Manufacturing there, and if you leave our Rays Academy there, and potentially even maybe expanded upon it, that doesn't change the $25 million contribution or the appraisal per se. But I do think that unless we plan to add on somewhere else, I do personally see a situation where we need, what's that, Doc? About 25% of the space of the building is for those three entities. So I do think we would probably need 25% of it. So for me, I would say that I personally am not prepared to strip Derby out. It doesn't change the 25 million. I just think unless we come up with another spot for the 25% of the building that's still used, then I don't think you can break it away. I don't think you can sell it. I still think there's a use for it, and I still think the 25 million is valid.
Jim, are those student or adult programs?
Well, hopefully the advanced manufacturing will be adults at some point. Right now, the three programs are student-based, although Little Raider University is preschool.
Okay. I'm looking at this from the standpoint of whether or not, you know, those programs would be valuable to the regional district and, you know, any of its high school students that would derive from Ansonia as well as Derby.
I'd like to think the Advanced Manufacturing Center could be a benefit for certain. I'm sure in a regional high school system, the answer to your question would be yes.
I would agree. Knowing all three programs, I would agree.
I just think it applies differently to each scenario, Jeff. So in a 6-12 scenario, the use of Derby High School for other purposes other than 6-12 as a part of the regional district attributed to it's different than in a K-12 scenario. So I would just throw that out there.
Yeah, that's fair. I do think, though, I'm trying to think in my head, though, I'm trying to process what you just said. I do think whether we did K-12 or 6-12, of course, we did 9-12. I do think in either option, oh, you're right. If you do 6-12, well, the advanced manufacturing might still be there. The Rays might be there, but you're right. 6-12, the Little Raider University might not be there. Okay, I understand what you're saying.
So there may have to be some, my point is that there may have to be some equalization between the regional district and the Derby local district in that scenario for the space, the use of the space, things like that, whether or not it's a dollar, I don't know. But, you know, some equalization
in
that scenario.
In terms of what could still be there, are you saying that if both high schools reside on Pulaski Highway, would we keep Rays Academy, Little Raiders, and the Manufacturing Center on Chatfield Street in Derby? Is that the topic?
No, what I was saying, Tara, is that the question was whether or not Derby High School would be contributed to the regional district. And the question is that if it is contributed to the regional district and you keep Little Raiders University there, there has to be some equalization because it's technically not a 6-12 scenario. If it was a 6-12 scenario, some equalization for the use of that space by the Derby local Board of Ed to the regional district for the use of that space during that time frame. I wasn't saying that it had to be moved or anything like that. I was just raising the question that in a 6-12 scenario, that raises a different question than in a K-12 scenario, because in which case everything is to the regional district.
Right. I do think that this is a good topic that I haven't thought of yet at all, and it's what to do with those specific programs. The manufacturing center is large, and it has, you know, large machines, and it's built custom made for its purpose. So is that at all factored into any of these scenarios? And if so, where? Rays Academy needs to be in wherever the high school would end up residing, because those kids aren't secluded, they're mainstreamed, and the goal is to get them to be 100% mainstreamed again with support. So I'm just wondering where those programs would reside in any scenario, and I just want to keep that on our minds as well, knowing the programs.
All right, so it sounds like right now, 3B, we think there's a use for Derby High School. We believe its potential would be contributed to the regional entity. I think that is a good discussion there. We know we are on there.
I think Rich has something to 3B. Say. Mr. Bichard.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who did? It's hard for me to scroll through. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Noisy guy. Just a good question. If we're keeping the Derby High School, does it not have to be brought up to code, and all those expenditures would need to be accomplished?
Well, that's a good question, but if we're not adding on to it and we're not touching it, I guess that's fair. But I guess if the answer is yes, then we have a different discussion. if the, and that's the question we could ask Silver Petroselli, because we wouldn't be closing it down. There'd be no loss of services. It would go, you know, so from that perspective, we may not need to. If we start to have to incur costs, that's an excellent question, because then we would need to look to see if we'd be better off relocating the spaces.
Okay.
I will ask Silver Petroselli that question.
Jim, my understanding is it would be grandfathered for its current use.
Right.
So right. It could continue to hold, you know, the alternative school or the advanced manufacturing or even the ninth grade, which is there now.
Okay, I hear you. I think you're right for certain, and so I don't doubt you at all. I will follow up with Simone just 1,000 to but I would generally think that that's accurate.
I just have a quick thought about that. If we continue to use Derby High School, which in my mind, in all these scenarios, Derby High School is put to the side. So in my mind, I put it to the side. But now, as we're talking for the first time about somehow using that building, to me, it sounds like it would be not cost efficient to use that building for much lesser students. So if we're using that for 20, you know, 3- and 4-year-olds for their program, that doesn't seem cost effective. We're going to heat the building. We're going to maintain that building for 20, 3- and 4-year-olds doesn't really sound cost effective for me. And we also can't just house Grace Academy there because they're not secluded, like I said. So they would have to come and go. And in terms of the manufacturing, again, unless you're going to bus kids from Pulaski Highway to Chatfield Street just to participate in their class, you know, that's added expenses too. So now that we're talking about for the first time keeping Derby High School in the mix, I think no matter how we look at it, in my initial thought is that it's not cost effective. Although it adds a little space, some wiggle room, literally some wiggle room, but it just doesn't sound cost effective. My first thought about it.
Well, here's what we should say then. Again, and I don't pretend to know what 25% of the electric cost would be. And so maybe we can have a, I talked to Simone, maybe we can just have a discussion with Simone, raise the need for Little Raiders University, Advanced Manufacturing, and Raise Academy, and look at the cost associated with staying there, and or, you know, the annual operating costs versus the long-term cost of moving that.
Jim and Tara, how many students are in the advanced manufacturing program?
I would defer to Dr. Conway.
I don't know how many are enrolled in the courses that they offer.
14 enrolled Dr. right now.
Okay, thanks. Yes, thank you. I mean, it would strike me that an advanced manufacturing program, particularly if you have the equipment, would be an asset to the regional district for all students.
I agree.
I think Little Raiders University is about the mid-20s.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
But how many kids in that school if you combine in Ray's Advanced Manufacturing and Little Raider University? How many would be left over?
Oh.
The three together.
54 in LRU. And then 20. So, 54 in LRU, 14 in the advanced manufacturing, and 20 in RAISE.
88.
Okay. But RAISE is fluid. RAISE is very fluid, and that's kind of the purpose of it.
Yeah. All right. So, we know we have a charge with Derby High School. We realize that there's three spaces impacting approximately 80 kids. Three quality programs that are important to maintain. We could follow up with Simone to determine, you know, if the annual operating cost, or you know, is still more cost effective than trying to find alternative space. Everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
3C. Do we want to modify the valuation through some other means such as the lease? Again, on that one, I assume we still want to maintain the dollar, and then we want to address the, not the valuations, but we want to address the capital contributions at a later date. So is there anybody who wants to address the valuations differently or address it and change the lease cost based upon the value of the property.
No, again, I guess it's one of those questions, is that just similar to what we were just talking about with regards to the use of Derby High School. If it's going to be maintained and controlled by the Regional Board of Education, it may very well change the lease valuation from Derby's perspective, if Derby is going to continue from a local Board of Education perspective to have certain students there. So you may go from a dollar to, you know, $2,000 a year, $3,000 a year, something like that, to have that even out. So from that perspective, I mean, I don't know what those valuations would be now, but I think that, you know, that's what I was talking about earlier when I said we may want to be flexible on this, because you may run into these $2,000, $3,000, $10,000 situations where it makes sense to do it that way just to maintain use of the facility. So I would just throw that out there.
Yeah, and that's fine. I don't disagree too much. What I would say, though, is to me, the value of Derby High School and Derby Middle School was valued at $26 million-ish, right? That's the two together. So to me, I'm not entirely sure that 26 changes an awful lot, because you're using 25% of a building that is on the structure that you'd be hard pressed to do anything with anything else with anyway. But again, I'm open to seeing how that ends up answering itself. And saying for now we're okay with the valuation pending how Derby High School is utilized. Is that fair to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. And that kind of answers 3D as well. Okay, 4. So 4, and again, I'm glad we got to 4, which is we're doing good. We're making some progress. I do think 4, and I'm not trying to delay in any way, shape, or form, but I do think 4, whether it's a separate meeting for facilities, I do think we're going to have to maybe go through the, at least look at this, because all the costs that we have on page 9, is somebody moving papers around?
Can you say that again, Jim?
Oh. Yeah, I was sounding like, okay. On the different pages, I guess my only question is this. The prices that we used on page 9, Doc, or you could actually go to page, you could go to page 7. I'm sorry. So page 7, we were given these spreadsheets, which were 1, 2, 3, 4. And we made a decision, but the way they layered it in was very interesting, and I actually asked Simone to confirm this. So we were told that the code violations were 1s, and the site improvements are 2. Anything you see on the spreadsheet that's 2 and a 3 anything you see on the spreadsheet that's a 2 is a site improvement, and a future improvement is anything that's a 3 or 4. Now, if you were to go through some of these schools, though, and this may actually change the some of the numbers that we went through, some of the 2s, to me, you have to do, right? And so Bradley School, I won't kill everyone and give you 30 examples. I'll just give you like 2 or 3. Irving School, I mean Bradley School, drinking fountains do not comply with accessibility requirements located in the corridor. That's a 2. And they're recommending that we update the drinking fountains to be ADA compatible. Well, to me, that has to get done. That's not in any of our costs. That's in the site improvements. So I do think that some of the 2s, you know, probably aren't definite, like hot water piping and insulation are beyond the useful life. Provide new piping and insulation. I'm not saying we need to do that too, but there are a number of different 2s that are in fact code violations. So I asked Simone to confirm, because what they told us was that code violations was 1, site improvements was 2, and future improvements was 3 or 4. If their 2s are not in the code violations, they really need to look at this. And this is what I told her today. Hopefully they mind, but hope folks don't mind. But I said, listen, you need to go through this, because you have clear code violations that are 2s that I think have to be 1s that have to get done. So, you know, for me today, I'd like to think that, you know, I don't know if you want, if the committee wants to just wait till we get that sheet where all the code violations are highlighted the same, or if you guys want to go through the school by school, sheet by sheet, at just a separate meeting. But I do think we just have to have, in my opinion, a comfort level that the code violations, in fact, were the code violations, and that they, and not just the one versus two. Does that make sense?
I think you got to go through school by school, Jim. I mean, that's my two cents, and I think you need to go through it like that. But I think, you know, I think from where we've come from during in this equalization conversation has gotten us to the point where I think we're probably in the, we have the ability to have a single meeting on facilities and do that, giving everybody the opportunity to go through this and really look at the ones, the twos, and the threes, and really mark, you know, where we want to go with this and how much, because you're right, it is going to change the numbers and ultimately going to change, you know, the reimbursement and how much the contribution from each community. So I do think that's worthy of a single meeting and a single discussion.
Now, let me ask you this. Summer's coming, and that's either good or bad, I guess. And I could send an email out. I'm going to ask Simone if the ones and the twos, well, I did actually, if the ones and the twos, if some of the code violations are in fact in the site improvements, I've asked her to kind of give us an idea of what the code violations really are. Be that as it may, there are some things that may not be code violations they may want to do anyways. You know, for instance, there, one of the schools had lintels that were rusted and needed to be replaced, you know, and so that was a three in one case, you know, so, mm-hmm. So I do think we should just go through these because this is our one shot to say, here's the work that needs to be done. And we need to have a comfort level that the code violations are done. Is there a desire to meet prior to our last meeting in July if everyone was, like, available beforehand and we could pick a date? Would that be agreeable to folks, or you just want to wait until the fourth Monday in July?
I canceled my vacation.
When were you suggesting, Jim?
Well, I just wanted to see if people were even agreeable.
I would like to.
Because I think we're really close on this. So for me, our next meeting is until July 27th. And because it's kind of like a longer month than July, there's five Fridays, you know, it seems like a long time to me. So I could be agreeable to meet like on the 20th or maybe the 20th. I know it's only 1 week, but if people were agreeable to push another meeting out there, I could be agreeable to that. And if you just want to wait for the 27th, I'm okay. I'm not trying to be pushy. I just think we need one meeting to go through the facility list, in my opinion, to do it well.
I'm agreeable to that.
I think we should try to do.
Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
Whoever said the last comment, I didn't hear you. I'm interested.
For Steve.
I'm good with the 20th too, Jim.
All right, I'll put something out via email tomorrow. Okay, so then we'll forge ahead on the list. So now that takes us down to the last question for this evening, which is, should the equalization, this kind of goes back to what Rich was talking about, should the equalization portion of the agreement strictly address the values of the facilities contributed? So, Doc, can we go back to page 9, sir? There you go. Page 9. Nope, that's not it. My bad. That's 8, right? Almost. Just got to go up a little bit. How's everybody doing? We doing okay?
I think so.
All right. We're going on 2.5 meetings, 2.5 hours. It's like a Derby Board of Education meeting, for God's sake. Okay. Dr. Shure, are you smiling? I can't tell with the hat.
I'm smiling. This is like a cocktail hour for alderman meetings.
Yeah. All right, so we're good. All right, folks. So I'm gonna take the question off. Should the equalization portion of the agreement strictly address the values of the facilities contributed? I don't think we have to come up. If the answer is no, I don't think we have to come up with an answer. Doc, I don't think we have to come up with the answer tonight. Doc, that's page 8. Can we go to the next page? If the answer is just conceptually yes, I think we've done our work today, but that's just me.
Well, I think you're talking about Jim, I think you're two things. I think you're talking about the value on page six, those appraised values.
That's what, no.
Yeah.
No, I was looking at this. I'm sorry. Maybe I missed something. I meant when Rich went through this, and I understand his point, and you know what? To his credit, I mean, he's looking out for both hounds, because in some models favor Ansonia, some models favor Derby. So I thought, Joe, what question five touches upon, the equalization portion of the agreement should strictly address the values, and here are the values. And so there are some values where Ansonia's contribution is more, such as or would be greater.
I don't think those aren't the values. Those are the allocation of costs. The values are what the appraised values is. That's what I think they're saying. And I think we've already answered that question, because you get to the equalization portion of it, and that's attributing $25 million and or almost $26 million to the Derby High School and Middle School facility if it's being contributed, and attributing $32 million to Ansonia High School. So if you're strictly adhering to the values of the facilities being contributed, we have to assume the appraised values are the values. So I think that what you're talking about is that's the allocation of cost after you break down and try to equalize the values of the facilities being contributed plus the costs that are associated with bringing the facilities up. That's your allocation of cost. So I think that's how I read it anyway.
But that's not what I meant. I mean, I appreciate that aspect. The valuation piece, and if we agreed with the valuations, I agree that that was question 3A. What I took 5 to be, and what I thought we all did when we talked about the lease, was, and I'm just going to use this option for now. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. I'm not picking this option for any other reason other than it's not 9 to 12. but 6 to 12. If you contributed the building, it would be a certain figure. If the buildings were leased, Ansoni would be contributing in a leased option $4,166,510, and Derby would be contributing $2,553,668. Now, that would be the numbers. Now, then the question says, should the portion of the agreement strictly address the values? And I realize that those numbers are based upon the buildings contribute, the section above that, if the buildings are contributed, it does talk about the values of facilities. And what I think Rich was saying was, hey, in the 9 through 12 option, Ansonia has a $32 million school, but if you lease it, Ansonia's going to contribute $2.5 million, Derby's going to contribute $1.4 million. That's inequitable. That equalization is inequitable because Ansonia has a $32 million school. Let's address the inequity. I thought that's what I meant. Whether I'm right or wrong, I'm not certain, I guess, but that's what I thought that meant.
Well, I think I agree with you, Jim, but I don't know how do we answer this question without knowing the questions above regarding even the repair for school and the other things that we're going to get other information on, what the value. So I don't know, how do you answer number five at this
point? I don't think you could answer it this evening other than, and this is just me, other than saying we philosophically agree with that, and once we have final costs, we will look to address what Rich brought up as a point, the inequities versus the capital being brought forth.
I don't like the word strictly in there, because to me that means that's the only thing you're looking at.
Right.
I agree with that.
Okay.
But that's my feeling.
That's just DMG's word. I can see if they could strike that out. And so I guess the question here is, does the committee, and I don't think we have to come up with the dollar figure, I don't think that's even reasonable tonight. I agree with you, Barb. But Mr. Brashura raised the point that, hey, each school is bringing different capital, and depending what that option is, I mean, you can see the cost. I mean, if the buildings are contributed in the 6 through 12, you know, in the 9 through 12, the different schools would be contributing, different cities would be contributing different amounts as they would through 9 through 12. I guess the question is, do we philosophically agree that we should address those inequities in a different manner? I think if the answer is yes, then this is something we have to come back and discuss a different day.
I think it should be
Rich feels we should. Does anybody disagree with Rich?
I disagree.
That we're not gonna decide this? Rich, what did you say? That it should be? Or I don't think we can answer this tonight, to be honest.
I agree with you, Jack.
I love the idea of plowing through this thing. I didn't think we were gonna get anywhere close to going 1-5 all the way down. I was the one that kind of started this disaster, but I was trying to push us into starting to go through that checklist, and we're at the bottom one. I don't know that we necessarily gain anything by trying to answer it and then come back and say, oh, we changed our mind now that we have new information, or information on the fields changed our whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then I think we've listen, I agree with Dr. Stewart. We've made good progress here. I think we could live to fight another day. I didn't mean those choice of words, by the way, by any stretch. I will reach out to everybody to see if the 20th works. And I think if that's okay, I think that kind of takes into account our next steps, is we're going to have a facilities discussion on the 20th. We'll pick this back up on the 27th. Is that agreeable to everybody?
Yeah, it is, Jim. Can I say one thing about next steps, though, that I just wanted to add to that conversation?
Sure.
Is that I personally thought and found the questions at the end of this to be sort of very helpful for us as a committee to go through the process. And I think if we had the ability, and maybe we can, you know, loop in Simone and DMG on this, is that finding other questions for each of the sections, sort of the heavyweight questions, the key questions that need to be answered. I think it helps us prompt discussion and really, you know, I mean, decide what's going to be, you know, need more conversation and what's going to need less. So if we had questions, I think, on each of the, what is it, the seven sections or the six sections that we really need to get to, I think that would be very, very helpful for us as a committee.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. All righty, folks. Point of good order. Does anybody want to weigh in?
Again, I'd like to apologize if I offended anybody, but I think tonight's meeting was very, very well done, and I'm looking forward to more of these. I think the frank discussion is going to be helpful to us.
It was an awesome meeting. I agree with you, Mr. Bashir, for certain. Any other points of good order?
I would echo those comments. I think I appreciate the honesty and the frankness. You got 10 strong personalities in the room. Tonight, 7, and I think it's great that we can, you know, go back and forth and remain professional and still continue to have the discussion. So,
listen, if we're in the same room, together, I'd hug you, and we didn't have a COVID, I'd hug you all. All right. Anyone from the public want to talk, weigh in? Public once, public twice, public 3 times. Okay, with that in mind, anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
I was going to say, you guys want to say? All right. Motion by Mr. Majer, second by Dr. Stewart. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Did you oppose?
Thank you.
Motion carries.
Josh wants to stay, right.
Good night. Enjoy
your
week.
Take care.
Everybody. Enjoy the 4th.
Yeah. Ooh.